1 Corinthians chapter number 1 tonight. And I'm going to quickly review the ground that we've covered on this subject of why are there so many different churches and denominations, and what does the Bible say about that. I'm going to quickly review, and then we're going to cover much new ground tonight. All right, 1 Corinthians chapter 1. You know, I get asked that question, why are there so many different churches and denominations out there? And the quick answer to that, we went to Revelation 2, and we saw that basically there are two reasons why there are different churches and different groups out there. Number one is because people hold to differences in deed. They believe the church ought to function a certain way. And so they believe the action, the practices, the mission, the priorities of the church are different. They believe that the actions of the church should be doing different things. And so because of the differences in deed, you've got different groups. One group over here says we're going to emphasize doing this. Another group says we think we ought to emphasize doing that. And there's differences of opinion there. And so you got different groups out there that hold to differences in deed. Some people say, well, the church should be run this way. Some people say, well, I think the church ought to be run this way. And so there's differences in deed there. And so that's a big reason why you got a lot of different groups out there. But then another reason is differences in doctrine. Differences in doctrine. Doctrine is what you believe. And, one church says, we believe this. Another group says, well, we don't believe that. We believe this. And so you get differences in beliefs. And so then you have different churches that form and different denominations of churches that form. Differences in deed and differences in doctrine. We saw that in Revelation 2 exemplified. And that's why there's over 38,000 different Christian denominations in America. 38,000 different Christian denominations. Differences in deed and differences in doctrine. We saw that doctrine is very important. We saw that when it comes to doctrinal matters such as the blood of Christ, the finished work of Christ, the matter of salvation, the matter of what you believe about the Bible, these are big issues that really should create division, the Apostle Paul taught. And so then we began to look at differences. What does the Bible teach about religious names and labels? And we saw several principles. Quickly, I'll review. We said, number one, religious names and labels are used to identify groups. Somebody says, I'm a Pentecostal. Well, right away, you know that's somebody who puts a lot of store in Acts 2, the day of Pentecost, and what happened there. Somebody says, well, I'm a Lutheran. Well, that's somebody who puts a lot of store in Martin Luther and his teachings. Somebody says, I'm a Seventh-day Adventist. They hold the seventh day of the week to be something very sacred and very special. Somebody says, I'm a Baptist. You think, well, that's somebody who puts a lot of stock in baptism. You know, they're a Baptist. And we looked at an example in the Bible of somebody being labeled. We looked at John the Baptist. And did God call him that? Yes or no? No, God told the angel, and the angel told Zacharias and Elizabeth, thou shalt call his name what? John. 65 out of 80 times he's called John. 15 times he's called John the Baptist. Why? Well, people gave him that name because his entire mission revolved around the issue for Israel of water baptism. It was very important in that economy and that program for Israel, water baptism, and his whole mission revolved around that. Whereas Paul said, Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, John the Baptist was sent to baptize people, and so they labeled him John the Baptist. Okay? So names and labels are used to identify people, to identify groups, to identify beliefs. Sometimes names and labels can originate with someone's opponents. And we saw, number two, that religious names and labels are man-made. This is not a Bible issue. It's clearly a preference issue. Maybe there's a name that you hold dear, a religious name, a religious label, and you hold it as something very dear and very precious. That's fine, and that's your opinion, and that's your preference. But don't try to make it a Bible issue. Because as we looked into the Bible, we found something very interesting. And that is the Apostle Paul never ever, when he wrote to the churches that he started, he never called them by a denominational name. He always addressed the churches by a very generic name. The church at Ephesus or the church in Philippi. We even looked outside of Paul, churches that he didn't start. And we saw the same biblical precedent of just a generic name. So religious names and labels as it applies to the local church are very man-made in their origin. There's not one name that is sacred and holy to God. We said, why are we called Crossroads Baptist Church? Why are we called that? And I said, well, bottom line is, the guy who started our church gave it that name. I had nothing to do with it. Okay, the guy who started the church called it that name. Are we called a Baptist church because God commands us to be named that? Yes or no? No. Are we called that because the Bible requires it? Yes or no? No. Are we called that because there's a biblical precedent we see in the Bible of churches being called Baptist? Well, no, there's not one example of that in the Bible. So, you know, we looked at that. It's a preference issue. It's a man-made issue. And then we looked at the third principle last week. And that is religious names and labels can cause unnecessary offense or confusion. We saw the first attempt in the Bible of believers attempting to denominationalize themselves. And it was in the carnal church of Corinth. And that's where I want you to go to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. And I want us to look at this again. In 1 Corinthians 1, we have the first attempt of believers to denominationalize themselves. Look at chapter 1 and verse number 12. He says, now this I say, that every one of you saith, I am of Paul, and I of Apollos, and I of Cephas, and I of Christ. Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Or were you baptized in the name of Paul? I thank God that I baptized none of you. So we look at that, and we see that the Corinthian church was on the verge of a church split. You had the Paulinians, and they're going to split with the Apollosites and the Cephasites. And so you got these people that are denominating. Remember, that just means to name. They're denominating themselves, and they're going to call themselves by a name. Well, what did their attempts to denominationalize, what did it produce in the church? Does anybody remember? What did it produce? Did it produce goodwill? No, look back at verse number 11. It says, for it hath been declared unto me of you, my brethren, by them which are the house of Chloe, that there are what among you? Contentions. Did Paul look at it as a positive thing, these people trying to name themselves and label? No, he looked at it as a very carnal thing. He rebuked them for that. And these people were proud of it. But Paul rebukes them and he says, you know, what are you thinking? We need to be united. Some people say, well, I'm a Baptist, and that means something. Well, it means something to you, but guess what? It means something else to somebody else. We saw last week there are 65 Baptist denominational groups in America. 65. I gave you some examples last week of some of these Baptist groups and all the differences, wide range of beliefs and doctrine. We saw some examples of Baptist churches that, quite frankly, we would never want to be identified with. And we looked at those last week. When people think of Crossroads and they think of our church, I really want them to think this. More than I want them to think, oh yeah, that's a Baptist church. I want them to think that's a church that loves Jesus, teaches the Bible, and loves people. And that's my passion. That's the testimony I want us to have in this community. And that's why you've probably noticed that more and more we have distanced ourselves from that. And we'll talk more about that tonight and why. And it's not dishonest. We said last week, most of you in here have middle names or first names that you never go by. You never mention it. You never talk about it. When you introduce yourself, I don't say, hi, I'm Daniel John Proctor. I just say, hey, I'm Dan, or hey, I'm Dan Proctor. And I shorten it. And so, it's not dishonest. It's just that's something that we do. But I want to hit something tonight that's new, and I'm going to venture out now into some new territory. And that is this. The fourth principle that I want to give you is this. Religious names and labels are never to be loved and cherished. Now, as I said earlier, and I said it last week, as a matter of fact, we should never be married to or give undying allegiance to a religious name. our allegiance must be to Jesus Christ and to the Word of God, period. I've heard people say this before. I've witnessed to people, I've invited people, and they've said to me, I was born a Catholic and I'm going to die Catholic. But you know what? In all fairness, and by the same token, can I tell you what I have actually heard believers say? I have heard believers in Jesus Christ say, I was born a Baptist, I've always been a Baptist, and I'm going to die a Baptist. And I think most of you in here know that is a evidence of great spiritual immaturity, isn't it? When you are searching for a local church to worship, the issue, my friend, is not the name on the sign out front. The issue is, what does the church teach about the Bible? That's the issue. If you move from Daytona Beach and you go to some other area of the country, my friend, don't be so shallow as to think because of a name that somebody's hung on the shingle out front that that church is okay. There are Baptist churches that are off the wall. There are Baptist churches that are doctrinally off. There are Baptist churches that are hateful and mean-spirited. And there are churches that are not Baptist that love the Bible, that are teaching the Bible, and that are rightly dividing the Bible. The issue isn't the name on the sign. It's what's being taught by that local church. That's the issue. Names and labels should not be the driving issue. Doctrine should be the driving issue. I want you to go to John chapter number 9. And we've talked about this before. And some of you will remember when we were going through the series. We did a little Wednesday night series called Lessons Learned from the Pharisees. And in John chapter 9... you might remember here that Jesus had a huge confrontation with the Pharisees in this chapter. Huge. He had healed a man that was born blind. And boy, I tell you, as the chapter unfolds, temperatures are just keep rising. People are getting madder and madder. Finally, look at verses 28 and 29 and notice what happens here. It says, then they reviled him. This is the man that was born blind. It says, in fact, if you go up to verse 27, the man that was born blind that was healed by Jesus, he answered them. He said, I have told you already and ye did not hear. Wherefore would ye hear it again? Will ye also be his disciples? He said, man, you guys aren't listening to me. Then verse 28, it says, then they reviled him and said, thou art his disciple, but we are what? Moses' disciple. And verse 29, we know that God spake unto Moses, as for this fellow, that's what they call our Savior, as for this fellow, we know not from whence he is. We don't know where this guy's from. And so what do the Pharisees do? They retreat into the safety of their camp and their label. And what they basically say here, when they don't have a leg to stand on, when they don't have anything to stand on doctrinally, finally they just retreat back into their camp and they say, we're Moses guys. We're in the Moses camp. You're in the Jesus camp. But we belong to the first church of Moses. And it's been around a lot longer than this new Jesus camp you're talking about. You see, Pharisees pride themselves in the fact that they never change. Pharisees love to think they've got it all figured out. And so they don't need anybody coming in with a new idea that might mess up their system, that might mess up their convictions, that might mess up their religious rules. And they don't want anybody coming in challenging their thinking. And they're so adamant about it that they begin to form their own exclusive camp and their own exclusive group. And then there's internal pressure in the group to make sure that nobody in the group changes. There's this internal religious peer pressure that everybody remains true to the ideology of the group. And see, names and labels become a very convenient way of excluding those who are not like us. And when we love and we cherish names and labels, it becomes very difficult to become a church for others. I want you to remember what we learned from the Corinthians. We learned that the most carnal church in the New Testament, the Corinthian church loved and cherished their names and labels. Let me ask you a question. You know, when they were saying, I'm of Paul and I'm of Cephas, do you think that kind of thing goes on today? I'm going to mention a name here that he's dead and gone, and most of you won't even know the name. I doubt if even probably 1% of you probably even know the name. But there was a preacher that was real popular in independent Baptist circles back in the 70s and 80s named Jack Hiles. And this guy, he was quite a pulpiteer and so forth. And so he would travel around and he would preach. And a lot of guys, quite frankly, practically worshiped the man. And then in the 90s, there was talk of different scandals with him and so forth. And I don't know what was true and what wasn't. Didn't even care to research or find out. But, you know, there was talk. And so my point is this, is that what happened was these groups and camps started forming. And there were actually people that formed groups and they went around wearing buttons saying, I'm 100% Hiles. I'm a Hiles man. 100% Hiles. Can I be frank with you? I'm not 100% any man. I'm not even 100% Dan Proctor. I'm not. I know me. And I know my failures and my weaknesses and my problems. I'm not 100% any man. Can I submit to you? That is nothing but traveling back to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. It is carnal. Folks, I'm 100% Jesus, period. Tell you a little bit of my background. I was raised Methodist. And I can remember as a kid kind of being proud of that. And I remember one time coming home from church, I was probably 9, 10 years old. And I remember kind of taking pride in the fact we were Methodist. And I remember telling my parents, you know, I'm in the back seat talking, you know. Mom and Dad, I said, you guys are Methodist. You've been Methodist a long time, right? Yeah. You know what? I think I'm going to be Methodist. Oh, good, you know. And I said, I think I'm going to raise my kids Methodist. I said, I'm going to carry on the tradition and I'm going to be a Methodist. You know, and I remember being proud of that. Well, then my brother, he got saved when he was in college and there in Missouri. And he took me to a Southern Baptist church. And I remember I visited there once or twice. Then he got involved in an independent Baptist church. And we started going there. And quite frankly, I didn't learn any Bible. It was very shallow. I didn't hardly learn anything. But I surrendered my life to the ministry. I was zealous. I didn't have much knowledge, but I had a lot of zeal. I was on fire, as I said this morning, fervent, red hot for Jesus. And so I went off to Bible college. I don't know that I could hardly quote a verse of the Bible, but I went off to Bible college. And I ended up going down here to a college in Florida. And to be honest with you, the leader at that time, and he's dead and gone too, but the leader at that time of the college was he leaned towards what we would call a Big B Baptist, brighter mentality. Now, I know that doesn't mean anything to y'all, but what that really meant was this. There were people that believed so much in the name Baptist, they called themselves Big B Baptist. And in other words, they were Baptists with a capital B, right? And so they're Big B Baptist. And they believe, now get a load of this, you ready for this? They believe that which this is a whole other doctrinal issue, but the bride of Christ in Revelation 19 and the marriage supper of the Lamb you've heard about, they believe that only Baptists would be part of the bride of Christ. And that other people may be there, but they would be guests at the marriage supper. They'll be guests. But Baptists will be the ones in the bride. Well, I went to a college that leaned towards that and that had a background of that and where the preacher had that. And they would bring in these preachers in chapel to preach when I was in Bible college. And one of their favorite lines is, you know what I'd be if I wasn't Baptist? I'd be ashamed. You know, and we had to hear that over and over, you know. And can I just tell you this? I was a young Christian. I was green. I didn't hardly know any of the Bible, but there was something inside of me. I did not buy that stuff from day one. I never bought it. I never bought into that. I never got all prideful and all excited about the name Baptist and that label. I never bought it from day one. I knew that even though I didn't really know the biblical reasons, I just knew it didn't sound right. Well, now, boom, let's fast forward 22 years later, here I am. And now 22 years later, since growing in Christ and growing in my knowledge of the Word of God, now it's not a matter of it just doesn't set right with me. I actually loathe and I despise that kind of stuff today. I cannot stand it. I find it hard to even tolerate that kind of attitude and that kind of basically Corinthian type of mentality. I despise it. You know, there is this innate carnal desire in man to be a part of a group that's got it all figured out. You know, we've got the inside track on God. We've got this special favor in God's sight. And we take great pride in our group's name, and we like to boast of it. And can I submit to you, that is nothing but carnality is all that is. We are absolutely sure that our group is the only one that's right. And anybody that doesn't have our name or our label, we immediately look at with a raised eyebrow of suspicion. They're not even Baptist. That church isn't even Baptist. And you know what, folks? That sounds all too familiar to me to the religious Pharisees in Jesus' day. In John chapter 7, if you'll turn back there with me, John chapter number 7. In verse number 44 here, it says there, John 7:44, and some of them would have taken him. They would have taken Christ because they were mad at him, but no man laid hands on him. Then came the officers to the chief priests and Pharisees, the religious crowd, and they said unto them, why have ye not brought him? So the Pharisees want to know, why haven't you arrested this guy? The officers answered, never man spake like this man. Then answered them the Pharisees, are you also deceived? Have any of the rulers or of the Pharisees believed on him? But this people who knoweth not the law are cursed. Nicodemus saith unto them, he that came to Jesus by night, being one of them, doth our law judge any man before it hear him and know what he doeth? Nicodemus is kind of going against the grain here. He's kind of bucking the camp. He's kind of bucking the label here. And look what they do in verse 52. They answered and said unto him, art thou also of Galilee? Search and look, for out of Galilee ariseth no prophet. You see, the Pharisees considered themselves and their group to be the sole proclaimer and the sole protector of truth. And then what happens is groups that do that, then they use fear and they use intimidation to keep the members of their group in line. And folks, that is cultic is what that is. That's cultic. They use fear and intimidation to keep the members of their group in line. Look back at John chapter 12. Go to John chapter 12 and I'll give you an example here. That's very cultic. You know, it's like, you know, we're gonna keep everybody in line here, and we're gonna use fear and intimidation to do it. I mean, Pastor Larry, it's a clear-cut case of intimidation. Look at verse 42. It says, nevertheless, I'm in chapter 12 now, verse 42. Nevertheless, among the chief rulers also, many believed on him, but because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him, lest they should be what? Put out of the synagogue. For they love the praise of men more than the praise of God. Fear and intimidation, the Pharisees used. Now, I can't stand that. That's repulsive to me. Folks, listen, let me share my heart with you. I do not want Crossroads to bow down to in allegiance to any group or any camp. We are a local assembly of believers bound together by our faith in Jesus Christ, and our sole allegiance is to the Word of God. And we're not going to love or reject people based on their name or their label, but based on the truth of God's holy Word. And here's my point. It was the Pharisees and it was the carnal Corinthians that loved names and labels the most in the New Testament. Isn't that interesting? We are not to love and cherish names and labels. And it is a wonderful, it is a liberating day when we decide to quit loving labels and just simply love people, love Jesus, and love the Word of God with all of our hearts. What a liberating day that is. And then the last principle I want to share with you is this. Names and labels should distinguish, but not hinder, the church's mission. There's nothing wrong with giving a name to a church, and I don't want you to think there's something wrong with that. Can you imagine if none of the churches in Daytona had names? Or can you imagine if every single, you look in the phone book, the Church of Daytona Beach, then you look down under there, the Church of Daytona Beach, then you look under the Church of Daytona Beach. You drive down Clyde Morris, the Church of Daytona Beach. You go to the next sign, the Church of Daytona Beach. The church, I mean, there's no, is there anything wrong with a name, yes or no? There's nothing intrinsically evil or wrong with a name. Okay? I mean, it would be very confusing if we didn't. God's not a God of confusion. The Bible says He's not the author of confusion. I mean, how do I distinguish between a bag of Dunkin' Donut coffee and a bag of 8 o'clock coffee? The taste. That just happens to be my two favorite kinds of coffee. Is Dunkin' Donut and 8 o'clock. I rotate between those two. But how do I distinguish one from the other? By the what? The label on the bag. Yeah, the name and the label on the bag. So names and labels should distinguish one thing from another. We decided to rename our church back, I think, in 2005. And it was Daytona Beach. And we took out Daytona Beach and we put in Crossroads. There's nothing evil and there's nothing wrong about that. It's just a name we chose. There's nothing holy about it either. It was just a name we chose. We thought maybe people would think of our church when they were at crossroads times in their lives. We thought, well, man, we're called to proclaim the cross of Jesus Christ. We'll be Crossroads Baptist Church. We felt that name would lessen confusion, help to distinguish us apart from other churches that had a similar name to our old name. We used to be Daytona Beach Baptist, and people were forever confusing us with First Baptist of Daytona Beach, and it was a constant source of confusion, constantly getting phone calls for them and them for us. And I got to tell you, back when we were discussing the name, and I'm just going to share this with you, and I'm going to be brutally honest and frank with you tonight. And again, you can disagree, and that's fine. But if you do, understand it's a preference issue. At that time, I really considered just dropping the label Baptist then and just, you know, hey, we're going to change the name anyway. Let's just drop it. And because I felt like that label really didn't accurately describe who we were. And I thought it can cause confusion. It can hinder what we're trying to accomplish. You know, but there were certain people that, you know, quite frankly, they're not even here anymore. They're long gone. But there were certain people that cherished that label. And they counseled me against it. And maybe I was wrong for allowing that, but I didn't want to stir up more strife. I didn't want to push it. But as we examined last week, if we're honest, we've got to admit that many times when we're dealing with lost and unchurched people, the label Baptist can certainly hinder what we're trying to accomplish. I had someone tell me, they said, yeah, I was handing out Easter cards that we gave out. And they said, you know, he said, I was talking to a lady, and he said, I just said, you know, that we're from Crossroads. They're on Clyde Morris. And he said she kept pushing me, wanting to know, well, what kind of church is it? And he said, I didn't want to say Baptist because I didn't want to immediately, I could tell it was going to put up a wall. And he said, so when she kept asking me, I just said, what kind of church are we? You know what? We teach the Bible. We teach the Bible. I had a fellow come up to me, and he told me, he said he was witnessing to his sister, telling her about how he'd been saved and about the church he was going to, and she kept pressing him, well, what kind of church is it? What kind of church is it? And finally, he relented, and he, well, it's a Baptist church. Conversation over, done, I don't want to hear any more. She was done discussing it at that point. When I talk to people, and maybe you're this way, but when I invite people to church, I just tell them I go to Crossroads on Clyde Morris Boulevard. And I don't want them to immediately put me into a group or put me into a camp simply because of a label. I had somebody this week said, yeah, I couldn't be there Sunday night, but said I was listening online and said, I felt so good when you said that, because he said, I do that all the time. And he said, I kind of felt guilty about it. And he said, then when I heard you say that, it was kind of just a liberating thing. And he said, there is a family right now, a whole family, that we've been trying to reach out to, and we've been trying to get to come to church. And he said, the reason why they say they will not come to our church is because we have Baptist in our name. He said, they will not come. He said, they had a bad experience in the past with a Baptist church. They've lumped everybody together in that group now, and they will not go to our church. A lot of times I just say Crossroads because I don't want the label Baptist to immediately produce confusion about who we are and preconceived ideas that simply aren't true about what we believe and what we teach. We certainly don't teach a lot of traditional Baptist things that Baptist churches teach, and we don't line up with that, and I don't want people to think that we do. Do you understand? Go to 2 Corinthians. I want to end with this tonight. Go to 2 Corinthians 4, and this is the last thing we'll look up. Do you understand tonight that there is an intense battle going on for the souls of people right now? There's an intense battle being fought for souls. Do y'all understand that? You understand that there is a person, a spirit being called Satan, the devil, and that he is desperately trying to drag people to hell, to the lake of fire? There's a battle going on for the souls of people right now. Look at what Paul said in 2 Corinthians 4:3. He said, but if our gospel be hid, it's hid to them that are lost. How does the gospel get hid? Look at verse 4. In whom the God of this world, that's a little g, who is that talking about? Satan. In whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not. Lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. You agree with me there's an intense battle being fought for the souls of people? Satan is trying to blind people from the truth of the gospel. And one of the greatest tools that he uses to blind people is organized religion. Amen. Organized religion has hurt more people and it has turned off more people than any other thing in history. And like I told you this morning, religion is about keeping the list, but God wants us to have a walk and a relationship with Him. Amen. That's what God wants. And our mission here at the church is to infiltrate the darkness with the light of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And that's why many times you'll see this logo, and I'm going to bring it up right now if we can on PowerPoint. A lot of times we'll use this logo. It just says Crossroads, learning the Bible, living the Bible. Is that what we're all about here? Amen. That's what we're all about. You know what my thinking is on this? And again, I'm not up here. I'm not going to take a vote or anything like that on legally changing our name. Our legal name is what it is, and I can't change that. But would you agree with me that there are enough walls that Satan puts up to blind people from the gospel without us putting up walls of our own? We're on a mission, folks. And this mission we're on is serious business. And you know what? If people want to fight and if they want to bicker over religious and denominational names, you know what? Let them do it. It's a free country. But I am too busy trying to win souls to get sidetracked by such petty and ridiculous issues. And I was so blessed last year when I was sharing some of this and I was sharing my heart with Brother Jim, because we'd kind of used some of the logo without Baptist in the name, and I was sharing my heart with Jim Bohannon, and I had no clue how he would feel, because I knew he'd always been Baptist, been raised Baptist, and you know, I thought I knew Brother Jim pretty well, but I was hoping he wouldn't say, Brother Dan, I was born a Baptist, I'll die a Baptist. And so I was talking to Brother Jim, we were discussing this, and I was just kind of sharing my heart with him. And after I got done sharing my heart with him, he said something that I'll never forget. It was like something your dad would have said, Brother Jim. It was so great and profound. Brother Jim looked at me, and as only he could say, Brother Jim Bohannon said, "Brother Dan, I haven't considered us a Baptist church in years." He said, "We're a church for others." Woo! Glory! Hallelujah! I thought, what a blessing. What a blessing. Brother Jim said, "We're a church for others." And he said, "I can tell you right now, Brother Dan, this church," he said, "I've been in Baptist churches all my life." He said, "This church isn't like any Baptist church I've ever been in." He said, "The churches I were in fought and bickered and were cliquish and you know, just inclusive, or rather exclusive, rather, not inclusive, but exclusive." And he said, "We're a church for others." He said, "That's what we are." And boy, Brother Jim, God really used you to encourage my heart that day. He really did. Chairman of our deacons, godly man. Appreciate him so much. But, you know, as we look at these principles, I hope that you will, I hope it's brought some clarity to your thinking. That, you know, religious names and labels, that, yeah, people use them to identify groups. But we got to understand, number two, they're man-made. We got to understand, number three, they can cause offense, so we got to be careful. Number four, we learned that we're not to love and cherish names. It's not something we're to be married to or give undying allegiance to. They are what they are. They're just man-made names. And then we learn tonight from God's holy word, names and labels should distinguish. Nothing wrong with saying we're Crossroads. That distinguishes us and helps people to know, oh, okay, you're the church down there at Clyde Morris. Names and labels should distinguish, but a name shouldn't hinder the church's mission. And that's very important. So I hope this has been a help to you. Let's go to God in prayer tonight. And with our heads bowed and with our eyes closed, will you pray right now? And will you ask God to help us to be a church for others? Just really pray that we will be a church for others. We'll be a church that is known in this community as a church that loves people, that just loves people, that teaches the Bible, that loves God, that loves the Word of God. That's what we want to be known for. That's what we want people to think of when they think of Crossroads. That's a church that teaches the Bible and that is serious about Jesus Christ, and they love God. They love people. We want to be known as a church that does things like walk through Bethlehem and that loves the community and reaches out with the gospel of grace. Will you pray that we'll be that kind of a church? Father, we pray you'll do a mighty work in our hearts. And Lord, I pray, Father, that we will really come to understand these things, to realize the importance of our mission, and that, Lord, we don't want anything to hinder our mission. We don't want anything to keep us from fulfilling that mission. Lord, this is serious business. There are souls out there that Satan's trying to destroy, souls that he's trying to take to the lake of fire with him. And God, we have to be very zealous and, as we said this morning, fervent, red hot, on fire about our mission to penetrate the darkness with light. And Lord, I pray we'll be serious about that. We love you so much, and we thank you for your word. And thank you, God. Help us not to be, Lord, like the Pharisees. Help us just to love people. And Father, I pray, God, that we will be a church for others. We love you so much, and we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand to